Okay, make sure you overrule your fleshly mind, your carnal nature, your mortal body, and all these other good things, so that we can once again to approach God's plan in fellowship. Here, as we're looking at the synonyms for the old sin nature, Roman numeral 2, set point J is where we left off. It's referred to simply as the old man, old in the sense that it's been around since the creation of man, essentially, Adam and Eve in the garden. Ephesians 4:22. Verse 17, this I say therefore, and bear witness in the Lord that you walk, that's your Christian life, your manner of life, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk. Gentiles being a catch-all title for those outside the Jewish faith, generally steeped in paganism. In the futility of their mind, all the brilliance of scientists and others of academia and philosophers that think they've figured out life, or they're figuring out life, yet they dismiss God in the equation in regards to the reality of His person, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God. That's part of the judgment that comes about in regards to those who are negative, as we saw in Romans 1, even though they know that God exists, they exchange it for a lie, the truth for a lie, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, their soul and thinking is ingrained, calloused over. Verse 19, they have become calloused, have given themselves over to sensuality. They've operated so much and so steeped in regards to their sin nature, their human viewpoint, that they've built a callous skin over their souls and their thinking. They essentially remain unrepentant in that respect. For the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness, verse 20, but you did not learn Christ in this way. He came to provide opportunity to overrule the rulership of the sin nature over mankind. If indeed, verse 21, first class edition, and indeed, assuming true, if indeed you have heard Him and you have, and have been taught in Him and you have, occupied with Christ through positional truth, just as truth is in Jesus. And then he gives the command here, verse 22, that in reference to your former manner of life, that's your pre-salvation state, you lay aside the old man. That is reference, a descriptive reference to the sin nature, that which has been perpetuated through the history of mankind from the beginning, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, the fleshly trend. That is part of this, that is inherent in the sin nature, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, verse 24, and put on the new man. That what's the new man? It's the human spirit that's given to us at the point of salvation under the principle of regeneration. The human spirit operates parallel in connection with God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit provides the means for the regenerate human spirit to become part of us, and the human spirit is with us from then on out, following the likeness of God the Holy Spirit in His indwelling role. And then when you're filled with God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit rules and is activated in regards to your life, and so is your human spirit. They operate, they're coordinated in that respect. And put on the new man, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and devotion or loyalty of the truth. So if you put off the old, you're supposed to put off the old man, put on a new man. How do you do that? Well, 1 John 1:9 is your mechanics. Colossians 3:9. same principle. Do not lie to one another. Lying is a sin. It is a manifestation of the sin nature. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self. You are provided with the means and isolated the sin nature through the salvation adjustment as well as rebound regards to one's life with its evil practices. And that put on the new man, verse 10, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of one who created him. Your new man every day and through every Bible class in assimilation to the truth of Bible doctrine is being renewed. That was true knowledge. That's with the divine viewpoint. See. And is the one that created him is God, obviously. The sin nature is referred to as a corruptible seed, denoting the mechanics of his perpetuation through the seed of the man, procreation. 1 Peter 1:23. For you, you have been born again. That's the new birth. Regeneration of the human spirit. Not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable. That which is corrupting versus incorrupting. And hence that looks at the sin nature being handed down through the procreative fashion of the generations of man. That is, through the living and abiding Word of God. One is fleshly, the other is spiritual. So it's the DNA of the male parent that is the transmitter of the sin nature. The female is simply a carrier of the sin nature. Though all children, whether male or female, obviously become part of the corrupted sin nature portfolio because of the presence of the male parent. Without the male parent, you have God the Holy Spirit. You can bypass the sin nature gene, just as it occurred in regards to Jesus' earthly mother Mary, and a human can be born into the world without a sin nature, which he had to be to have opportunity to possess plus our absolute righteousness and hence be sinless when he went to the cross. So we saw Romans 7:25, Paul referred to it as wretched man. Sometimes it twists you around in knots. You never know when it may attack. What situation will arise and all of a sudden panic or whatever. You recognize it, you deal with it. Is referred to as evil, and that recognizes is part in the policy of Satan. This is how Satan controls mankind, rules over man, is through the sin nature. Romans 7:19-21. For the good that I wish I do not do, but I practice the very evil that is expressing the salvation of the sin nature that I do not wish, the policy of evil. Verse 21, I find then that the principle that evil is present in me, or direct connection to the sin nature, to the satanic rule and governing of the cosmos of the world. The one who wishes to do good. As our upward call is to rise above living in a world ruled by Satan and serving an eternal kingdom, the kingdom of God, otherwise. And it's referred to as body of humiliation. Philippians 3:21. Verse 17, Philippians 3, brothers, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. And part of our responsibility to witness to life in our own spiritual growth, be a communicator, others with time and grade who are locked in with doctrine, they are designed for those who otherwise are in need of encouragement and example for their own life of what to do and the right approach, etc. We are to be that for those in that respect, and to be the type of person that people can look at and say that's a good example of living a Christian life according to God's plan. Verse 18, for many walk, and this refers obviously to believers. The context of believer. Believers can do some horrendous things, but they're still believers. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that brings emotional distress in regards to his life. And think about those who otherwise at one time you might be privy had an association with the fact that they were positive and adjusted to doctrine. But then they stray off. They stray. They abandon the truth for some sacred cow issues otherwise in regards to their life. Our enemies of the cross of Christ. The mentality is if people go to church, then they're all right in and of itself. Paul disagrees with that. If you are antagonistic to the truth, if you have strayed from the truth and you're promoting the human viewpoint fallacies and false doctrine in that respect, then you are an enemy of the cross of Christ. You are destroying the very concept of grace that is otherwise provided with respect to people assimilating the truth of doctrine and following doctrine in regards to their own life. And obviously, these are those who, it's not because of incidental sinning, but have gone off the straight and narrow. So that your attitude, obviously, it doesn't mean you're mean to people. But at least you recognize them for what they are as God sees them. Whose end is destruction. These are people that are led by their sin natures, the imaginations of their fleshly mind. See, whose God is their appetite. Their God is their own STA. Manifestation of the STA, Paul refers to likened as idols. See? And whose glory is in their shame. Their glory, any glory they receive, exalting, if you will be restricted to time. It will be shame at the Bema seat because they did not follow God's directive will otherwise in regards to their life. Who set their minds on earthly things. What one can acquire and accomplish otherwise. For our citizenship is in heaven, verse 20, from which also we eagerly await for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we are commanded to otherwise assemble ourselves together, even more so as the day approaches, and it's getting close. It can't go on forever. 21. Who will transform the body of our, for our intents and purposes here, of our humble state, the degeneracy twisted evil aspect of our STA, we're humble. But we have nothing in our own power that we of ourselves can ever do to overrule His power. That has to come from God. So we can exercise our will, but we must use the assets that God gives us and provides for us in order to deal with our humility. A state of embarrassment of the human race into conformity with the body of His glory, verse 21, by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. Again, body of corruption. We saw corruptible man earlier. Looks at the species. That emphasizes the species of the human race. Man being a transmitter, if you will, of sin nature. Body of corruption recognizes that all aspects, again, of the fleshly body is corrupt. 1 Corinthians 15:42-50. This section actually deals with the different levels and manifestations of believers as they will exist in regards to the eternal state, that there will be some believers that simply have the basic blessings that are associated with salvation, because that's all they did basically in time was believe. And then there will be those believers that will outshine in glory because they did it right and plugged in phase 2 doctrine. Verse 40 or verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another flesh of birds, another of fish. You know, the different attributes and appearances in regards to the creation, the fauna and the human race. 40, there are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is one and the glory of the earthly is another. 41, there's glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For stars differ from star and glory. Some are brighter, some are dimmer. The moon is dimmer than the sun as it reflects the light from the sun. And then he translates that into the spiritual reality of the resurrection. Verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, but is raised an imperishable body. Comes into the world corrupt via the sin nature, that God is going to provide a new body created by His own hands apart from the influence of the flesh that is incorruptible and is eternal. 43, it is sown in dishonor, obviously recognizing the existence of sin nature through procreation. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, the weakness of man. It is raised in power, the power of God, His omnipotence. It is sown a natural body, verse 44, it is raised a spiritual body. The resurrection body is quite phenomenal. Everybody thinks Superman's so great, but every time he comes in to see, he's going to break down the walls as he crashes in through here with all of his power, as if he existed. With the resurrection body, you don't have to mess with any of the molecular structure of any substance. You just pass right through it. Jesus, when he appeared to the disciples, just bam, he was just there. And everybody freaked. Quit drinking so much wine, man. Did you see that? Uh, 45, so also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Jesus Christ there is paralleled to the first Adam, first man. Adam means man. For one, brought us into the condition that we find ourselves in disobedience, through disobedience, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, through obedience, gave us a way out. In verse 46, however, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual, in regards to the order of spirituality provided for the history of man. The first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. He is the true manna that came out of heaven. 48, as is the earthy, so also are all those who are earthy, and as is the heavenly, so also are all those who are the heavenly. Who you associate with, who you align with, that then is what makes up what you are. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also borne the image of the heavenly. We should reflect that in regards to our own Christian witness. Verse 50, now I say this, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. You can't be corrupt. You can't be in a fallen state and inherit. Inherit looks at the potential of maximum glory in regards to your Christian life under SG3. You can't operate under your sin nature and be redeemed at a time at the same time. Any more than you can be in fellowship and be sinning at the same time. No, you're either one or the other. There's no gray area here. Either you're out of fellowship or you're in fellowship. And you make your choice. There's no walk in the fence. Either you get in fellowship, stay in fellowship, or you're out of fellowship. See? And then P, finally, iniquity. Psalm 51:6, an Old Testament verse. Probably used by David. Let's see here. That should be verse 5. And it is David speaking. Many of these psalms center on Operation Bathsheba, where he committed adultery. Had her husband sent up to the front lines to ensure that he would get killed in an attack, so that would free her from her marriage, so that he could marry her. Now that is the king by which all other kings in Israel are set against in regards to their standard before God of righteousness. All right, Mr. Self-Righteousness, figure that one out. How did that happen? Who was an adulterer or murderer would be an example to us. Well, that's because you're ignorant and you are narrow-minded and you cannot see the whole picture. But anyway, many of these psalms center on that and the fact that just as we have to acknowledge our sins, so the Old Testament saints have to acknowledge their sins under the rebound principle. And David recognized that these activity that he engaged in was completely out of line, and he recognized the influence that brought that about in regards to his own life. And that's verse 5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. The iniquity there is technical, if you will, in the context for his sin nature. And in sin, my mother conceived me. His mom and dad were married. He wasn't conceived as a bastard child. No, that recognizes the presence of the sin nature. And that, and we'll hit that a little bit later in the notes here, that upon conception, that first cell, when it's fertilized, the eggs fertilize, that first cell that's produced from that has the sin nature gene in it. So, anyway, Roman numeral 3. All right, now this one, this particular point takes us back and explains more fully how the sin nature came about in regards to the human race. And that's point 3, the origin of the old sin nature in mankind. So A, Adam, who's the federal head, the genetic male parent, if you will, of the human race, is the source of the old sin nature. The narrative, recording, the creation of the first man and first woman basically fills chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Genesis. We've been through that. We've got all the notes for it in detail. This is for your reference. We'll look at some of the verses out of there as they pertain to particular points we want to pull out here. So, one, Adam and Eve at the outset were created perfect, and trichotomous, that's three parts. And I'll let the word throw you, means three, try, versus die, two. But Adam and Eve were created perfect and trichotomous with body, soul, and human spirit. Since God is not the author or sponsor of sinful trends, sins, or temptations. Now, the Calvinistic philosophy would have you to believe that he's the author of sin. He created man evil. No, he did not. James 1:13, God cannot sponsor that. He cannot be part of that. God manifests his absolute light. There's no darkness in him whatsoever. And he cannot be associated with that. In fact, he will not associate himself, if you will, on any level of fellowship for anything less than absolute light. In his principle. But anyway, James 1:13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil. He's immune to evil. And he himself does not tempt anyone, specifically. He's not the one bringing about the evil ideas and solicitations in regards to life. It's either brought about by other people, including the satanic influence, or your own sin nature. And that is the principle here that's in James. You know, you hear people all the time say, or not all, maybe you don't, but sometimes say that, you know, the devil made me do it. Well, why don't you try your sin nature, idiot? Maybe the devil indirectly had a hand in it, but I guarantee you that which influenced you mostly was your sin nature. And this is what the author James, half-brother of Jesus, brings out here in verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. The sin nature solicits, it tempts us to engage in sin. Then verse 15, then when lust has conceived, that means that these salivation, desire of your flesh goes forward and engages in the activity, then it gives or bears forth sin when it determines to go forward and do what it wants to do. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death, that's temporal death. It tempts you, you have the temptation. Your soul decides to give it the green light. Go ahead, let's do it. And then personal sin is committed. 1 John 1:5. But therefore, our intents and purposes, God is not the author of evil. He cannot be. It's just people's ignorance that spit out things like that. I've heard people say that there's no place in the Bible that talks about men having fellowship with God either. Church age believers, well, what do you do with 1 John? John said he had fellowship with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ, in verse 3. Now, how do you do that? Well, of all places, 1 John 1:9, the mechanics is given to us in this chapter. Anyway, verse 5. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Either you're in fellowship or you're out of fellowship. God manifests himself in absolute light. In fact, the light is of such brilliance and of such power that if we were to be exposed to it in our mortal bodies, it would kill us instantaneously. make a nuclear bomb blast, vaporize you, that's basically what would happen. So there's no darkness. That means there's not even a speck of a darkness. No shadow. There's nothing gray about God in regards to His righteousness. You can't be a part of creating evil and remain absolute light. You can't be part of darkness, which represents evil, and remain absolute light. So two, in the order of creation, or in the order of the fall. The woman first, that's Eve, then the man, developed a trend away from God. Now the trend, the tendency, where we get a sinful trend of Adam, the tendency or motivation, if you will, to sin. The trend in and of itself was not sinful, since there was only one sin that could be committed, and that was the act of eating the tree of knowledge of good and evil, as we have explained in the past and touched on already previously, Genesis 2, 16 and 17. The Lord God commanded the man, verse 16, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely." So obviously, these trees were all for nourishment, for sustenance in regards to their bodies, etc. And how many there were, probably innumerable, basically, almost. They had their free reign. Try it out. You want a banana? Try a banana. You want an apple? Try an apple. Whatever. Whatever the fruits were. Except for one. And that's verse 17. "But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat," literally in the Hebrew, "from it, dying you will die." That's the infinity followed with the imperfect of the Hebrew, of muth. Dying, you will die. Two deaths will occur. That's the only law that could be broken by Adam and Eve. The grass is always greener when you can't have it. See, that's the idea. So, everything that led up to that, of the actual eating of that fruit, was not yet a sin. So that gives you an idea, a handle in regards to being tempted until you actually step over the line and engage in the act, whether it's mental attitude, verbal or overt. It's not a sin. So three, now the temptation to sin here came from without and not from within. And the trend to disregard God's words was converted into a sinful trend when they committed the first sin of mankind, an act of disobedience to the commandments. At this point in time of human history, the animal world was not exactly what we see today. And in fact, at that point in time, the serpent or snake were not the creepy, crawly things that people are usually afraid of anymore. It was actually a very beautiful creature, and one that by all appearances, one of these snakes, one of these serpents, was actually made a favorite pet of Adam and Eve as they lived in the garden. And this one particular serpent, Satan possessed that serpent. And the serpent is going to communicate and talk with Eve. Now the serpent, verse 1, was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Why is it more crafty? Because Satan has possessed it. Possessed his body. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, as God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden." Well, that should have got our attention right then and there. When did you learn to talk? And the woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat." Verse 3, "But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, unless you die." He didn't say anything about touching it. He said, don't eat it. So here you see already the trend from Eve in regards to shying away from sticking with the straight and narrow of what God has told them under His directive will. And it's actually first case of legalism that's been inserted in regards to the human race. They could have taken that fruit. They could play cornhole with it. I don't know. Baseball, whatever. And it would not have been a sin. Not until they put it in their mouth, they chewed it up, and they ate it, did it become a sin. But here you see Eve. She's the helper. She's the helpmate. That's how God created the male-female regime, the woman as the helpmate of the husband in this respect. And she is, her right man is her authority. Their spiritual authority is God Himself, who walks with them in the cool of the evening in the garden, giving them their Bible classes in the evening. And that's all part of this scenario. And who she should have listened to, who she should have turned to in regards to all this was to a right man, and given him her ear and not listened to any other advice given with respect to God's plan for their life otherwise. But she did not. She gives the serpent an ear, and now she's going to take him on. Now she's going to confront him. But unfortunately, it's with her brand of tendency to disobey God otherwise. In her mind and thinking, she's assisting her husband. Verse 4, the serpent then gives her the lie. The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Yes, God in His omniscience knows good and evil. He's aware of it. But it's not about, it's not through His own act of evil Himself. It comes through the actions of free will and volition that He has created in regards to higher creation, the angelic race here, particularly in view with Satan as an example. So it's all a deception. It's all a ploy of manipulating God's words and now outright lying about Him, saying that God is jealous and He doesn't want them to be like Him in that sense. But it's all in regards to getting her to disobey God and to follow His trend, the satanic trend that He developed in the throne room as being created the most prestigious and beautiful of all angelic creatures, being in the throne room full of wisdom, the whole works, having the approbation of the angelic race in regards to this person is in his workings and his beauty, and he gets under pride. It's a mental attitude sin, and from all that I've been able to put together in this regards, God recognizes it. God knows he's gone that direction, and he then creates our heavens and universe as the new thing for the angels to look at and have approbation over, in contrast to Satan. And when the new heaven and the new earth is created, the angelic attention is turned away from Satan, then his STA explodes. And it manifests itself for what it is. So all this is part of this. So Satan is not to be trifled with. Don't play his games. You've got one mode of thinking that you can attach yourself to and that you can promote in your own life, and that's a divine viewpoint to combat whatever attacks he may come at you with otherwise. And here he has taken the woman and he is deceiving her and simply placing before her in her eyes and thinking an opportunity to do better for herself and her husband, to become more knowledgeable, to be like God. And in verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, oh yeah, it was edible, all right, or else God would have told him not to eat, that it was a light to the eyes and the tree was desirable to make one wise, according to the title of knowing good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil, as well as what Satan has said. She took from his fruit and ate. She gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. So, all that up to that point in time, whatever she is wrestling with in trying to field the words of the serpent, none of that was actually a sin. The struggle is not actually a sin in regards to struggling with the STA. It's only when you capitulate to it, you give it the green light, and you go with it, that that's a sin. Those are good things to know in regards to your life. If you're trying to walk the straight and narrow and keep tabs on your life rather than having other people maybe categorize you as being simple, when you haven't really committed a sin. I've had opportunity myself, you know, people come in and make accusations. I said, well, what's my sin? Where's my sin? Document it. And generally the only reason why I say that is because I know they can't. You know. That'll get people to back off sometimes. Oh, well, but instead, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, they'll convert it to some other form of accusation. That, you know, to each his own. Work out your own salvation. I'm trying to work mine out. But the woman is deceived. The man on the other end of the coin, he knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing. So, point four, the sin is known as Adam's original sin. When they eat of the fruit. And the trend of sin is known as the old sin nature or the sinful trend of Adam. AOS is the acronym we use for Adam's original sin. By the trend of sin, what is sin? Disobeying God's words. Disobeying God's commandment. Again, the Fundies have simply these major categories that they consider to be sin, and that's basically it. Now, I grew up, I was taught in the churches I was in that you could think anything you wanted to think as long as you didn't go do it if it was wrong. I had a heyday with that growing up. Probably why I got in trouble half the time, too. No, sin is disobedience to God's word. If God says do this and you don't do it, or don't do this and you do it, it doesn't make any difference whether it's in the category of sexual content or monetary or power or whatever. It's a sin. So the trend of sin, disobedience to God. As sin in the woman came from arrogance, shown in her legalism there, not to touch, we can't touch the fruit. lack of discernment. She's listening to a false communicator here, represented by the serpent, Satan, and keeping information from a right man. And in other words, she's associated with the serpent behind Adam's back. Adam was not privy to this until she came up with the fruit. As seen in the man is reflected in his allowing her to usurp his authority and put in his fellowship with her over doctrine. So she's deceived. She does this behind his back. Comes to him with the fruit. I'm eating the fruit. I'm going with it. Because of what I've been told, that how it will empower me. That's a big key word today, to be empowered. Yeah, right. She eats the fruit and says, I'm not losing my woman here. I'm eating the fruit too. He knows exactly what he's doing. He doesn't want to lose his right woman in his mind, in his thinking. God says, she's going to die, I'm going to die. That's the attitude. And there is your first example of compromising Bible doctrine for family. Even the one closest to you, spouse, as if God could not provide it for him otherwise. Yeah. And now look at the mess you got us into, Ollie. The human race. So 6, original sin, eating of the tree, came from volition apart from the old sin nature. They did not have a sin nature at that point in time. And they're trying to disobey. So that tells you that it comes from decision making. See, the trend comes from your soul to disobey God, from volition. So 7, by choosing for knowledge of good and evil, Adam chose a new ruler of life. That's the sin nature, made possible through whatever properties this tree had in it to directly affect the DNA genetic code of the human race, of the human body. And you got to figure out that in these original human bodies, you had all the genetics inherent necessary for all the different races and types of people that we see in this world today. Everybody's all about race. Well, come on, man. There was original parents that was a little bit of every one of us. And I wonder what they look like. And we don't know. At the point of the fall, judgment by God as promised was executed with results affecting all of mankind. As we noted in Genesis 2, 16 and 17, the judgment would be dying, you will die. So a spiritual death occurred. Immediately upon eating the fruit, their human spirit was removed from them. Their fellowship with God was separated. Spiritually. And they then came under the judgment of sin. The principle is wherever sin exists, it must be judged. And they died spiritually. Immediately. Physical death did not come about for Adam some 900 years later. So when spiritual death occurred, Satan became the ruler of the world through the STA. That's how he gained his right of control or influence over the world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. How did Satan get in this position to be in control of mankind? Well, that's through the very incident that we're dealing with right now. Verse 3, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, the negative who are blind to it, who reject the truth. For in whose case the God of this world, see, he's the God of the world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving by introducing the act, the possibility, the potential act of disobedience in regards to God's command in the garden and the inheriting of the sin nature. That's his tie. That's his link. And it has all the salivations and all the distractions inherent in the individual in order to keep them distracted from the truth, the gospel message, etc., defeat any negative volition that may exist, that they might not see the light, the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, through the arrogance of the brain computer or whatever. See, then the SCA became the ruler of life. The SCA became the ruler of life, Ephesians 2, 1 and 3. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. In your pre-salvation days, you were spiritually dead, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. The satanic influence in human viewpoint as the world operates, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to enlighten us to these things. In Jesus' name, amen.